This podcast is supported by Emerson. From technology that delivers cures at warp speed to software that makes clean energy reliable, Emerson Innovation helps make the world healthier, safer, smarter, and more sustainable. Emerson, go boldly.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, October 4th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. For years, lawmakers in Washington have raised concerns about whether TikTok, through its Chinese parent company ByteDance, could be forced to share data on U.S. users with Beijing. Now, sources say the Biden administration is close to reaching an agreement with TikTok aimed at creating safeguards on that data. But the midterm elections and prospects of Republicans taking control of Congress are putting pressure on the administration to get the long-anticipated deal done. On today's show, our Washington reporter John McKinnon will be here to talk about what could be in the deal and the hurdles it could face. That's after these headlines. The Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether social media platforms can be held liable for terrorist propaganda uploaded by users. The closely watched case could limit the special immunity that social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube have under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act of 1996. The court has agreed to hear two cases brought by families of ISIS terrorist victims who claim social media platforms helped aid the group by allowing it to share content spreading its harmful ideology. Lawyers for Google, Twitter, and Facebook have said in court filings that they've made extensive efforts to remove ISIS content and that there's no direct causal link between the websites and the attacks that are at issue in these cases. A Twitter spokesman declined to comment. Representatives of Facebook and Google didn't respond to requests for comment. The court is set to hear arguments and make its ruling by next July. Bitcoin is down nearly 60% so far this year, but Wall Street traders are preparing for the next round of crypto volatility by turning to some of the same tactics that have served them in traditional markets. But our senior special writer Justin Baer says doing things like shorting an asset to force selling or tracking the movements of other big investors is easier in crypto because public ledgers record the transactions.
So I think that what makes part of the crypto world really interesting to those kinds of investors is the amount of information that's available to digest publicly, meaning that the data is there, the information and details are there for anyone with the right tools to read and to interpret and to trade around. And so they have been doing that, you know, increasingly finding opportunities when markets turn more volatile, when there is a lot more lending in the system, so there's a lot more leverage, and that's usually a good environment for a lot of these tactics.
You can hear more from Justin on this morning's episode of our sister podcast, What's News? Speaking of crypto, Kim Kardashian has agreed to pay more than $1.25 million to settle allegations that she didn't disclose her role in promoting a crypto company. The Securities and Exchange Commission claims Kardashian failed to disclose that she was being paid to promote tokens from Emacs to followers on her social media. Celebrities have benefited from crypto's rise as an asset class targeted at individual investors, and regulators have increasingly been looking to make examples of famous people who they say have flouted investor protection laws. Kardashian agreed to settle the SEC's claims without admitting or denying wrongdoing, and the agency says she's agreed to cooperate with its continuing investigation. And Google has discontinued its Google Translate service in mainland China, citing low usage. In recent years, there's been a boom of homegrown translation services in the country. Meanwhile, Google and other internet companies have been pulling out of China in recent years, amid a tougher regulatory environment and stricter internet censorship. Google withdrew its search engine in China over a decade ago after refusing to agree to censor its results. And in 2019, it disbanded its artificial intelligence research center in Beijing. All right, coming up, the U.S. wants to prevent TikTok from sharing users' data with Beijing. So what safeguards could it impose to prevent that? And why has it been so hard to reach a deal? We'll discuss after the break.
This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
For more than a year, White House officials have been negotiating with executives from TikTok. They've been talking about possible measures to prevent data that the video sharing company collects on its millions of American users from being shared with the Chinese government. Now, TikTok, which is owned by the Chinese tech giant ByteDance, denies that it would share user information with Beijing. But lawmakers, particularly Republicans, have pushed back on that. And it's expected that if the GOP takes control of one or both chambers of Congress after the midterms, they'll push for hearings on the issue. Sources say that backdrop is adding a sense of urgency to the White House's conversations with TikTok. Joining us to discuss all of this is our reporter, John McKinnon. Hi, John. Thanks for joining me.
Hi.
So what is the Biden administration's approach to getting a deal here been?
The first step the administration took was to basically stand down from some very aggressive efforts that were undertaken during the Trump administration to either shut down TikTok in the U.S. or force it to change its ownership structure so that it would be owned by a majority U.S. group. The Biden administration believed that that was legally indefensible and thought that there were probably better solutions to be had. And so they said that they would set out to reach some conclusions on how to do that. It's taken longer, I think, than a lot of people expected for them to come to those conclusions and reach those deals, although all the signs are that they are heading toward some agreement around the end of the year, the early part of next year, with TikTok. And there's also some indication that they're going to reach a broader understanding and issue some orders about how to deal with the problem overall.
What kinds of safeguards, then, should we expect if a deal is reached?
With TikTok, the administration and what's called CFIUS, this is an intergovernmental group task force that deals with security issues in foreign investments in the United States. The indications are that they are going to require TikTok to house the data that it collects in the U.S., and that they're going to probably identify some trusted third party, likely to be Oracle, to basically monitor the data flows and monitor how the data is handled.
You mentioned that the deal has taken a little bit longer than some people expected. What have been the hurdles to getting it done?
It's pretty complicated, as I understand it, to work out exactly how to achieve these levels of safety that the U.S. would like to achieve. And it's a very difficult problem to figure out how to keep this data safe when the U.S. is having such a difficult time, you know, maintaining the safety of a lot of other data. There's also political considerations that they've had to deal with. Some people say that if they reach a deal before the midterm elections, that might make the administration and Democrats more vulnerable politically to these attacks because it would just be in the public eye a little bit more. So there's some technical issues and there are some perhaps political issues.
So that's what you've heard from people who are familiar with these discussions. What have we heard from Republicans about these efforts? You mentioned there's political tension.
There are certainly some Republicans that are very much more hawkish on China even than the administration and would say that TikTok, for instance, needs to be owned by a U.S.-based entity, which was what the Trump administration was trying to achieve. And there are certainly others that say that the administration needs to make TikTok sever all ties with China and not use any of its algorithms or have any connection with China.
And TikTok's response to all this? Are they talking about the deal or about these accusations?
TikTok is trying not to comment on the specifics of these negotiations with CFIUS, but they certainly have offered many assurances that they are not sharing Americans' data with the Chinese government. And TikTok is really, I think, in a little bit of a difficult position because I think that they are perhaps not as trusted by the U.S. government as they would like to be. And they're frankly not as trusted by the Chinese government as they would like to be.
How unusual is this situation where the U.S. is trying to kind of step in and set up these safeguards?
On one hand, it's a little bit unusual because the power of social media platforms is a new problem that the U.S. is confronting. But on the other hand, the U.S. has had lots of experience with foreign investment in the U.S. and has had ways of dealing with national security risks associated with foreign investment in the U.S. for a long time. And some of the measures that they will probably implement, including some of the oversight measures, the board of overseers that they'll probably require TikTok to create with a lot of U.S. citizens and U.S. national security experts on it, those are measures that they've done in the past with other U.S. entities that have been owned or controlled by foreigners. But again, the circumstances here are somewhat new and unique and very hard to figure out. Like, how do you protect all this data, this massive amounts of data that are collected on the internet and are so easily transferred?
All right. So what do we expect to happen next then?
At some point, I think probably after the midterm elections, but maybe before Congress really gets cranked up in January, there'll probably be an announcement of a CFIUS national security agreement with TikTok. And at that point, TikTok will have some of the concerns of all of this lifted off their shoulders and we'll go from there.
All right, that's our reporter, John McKinnon. Thanks for joining us, John.
Oh, thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I'm Paul Jugot, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.